I'd like to thank everybody for coming this morning. Our preacher, Jeffrey McNeil, is at a workshop in Tennessee. Has a kind of a cool name, Polishing the Pulpit. And I guess it's a pretty big thing. And he's getting some downtime, but also learning more about God. I'm Phil Volkamp. I'm one of the elders here tonight. Hopefully you can come back at 6. Phil Brazil, one of our other elders, will be presenting the lesson tonight. The lesson today is going to center around Paul and how he could find good in about everything. And we're going to be centering around that and how he could, as Daryl read, he could rejoice all the time. And of course, we know he was a great encourager of people. But as Paul wrote the letter to the Philippians, he was in prison. He was in chains in a jail in Rome. And we know this because we can look at Philippians 1, 12 and 13, where Paul says, "Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ." So everyone knew why he was there and what he was doing. You know, he could have spent his time feeling sorry for himself, pitying himself, complaining, but he didn't. As Daryl read, he wrote in Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice." So he was encouraging people, even when he was in jail. Now, you and I may not have physical chains like Paul had on him, but we all have those invisible chains that burden us. Could be a failing health, could be an illness, it could be something that our children have done that just break our hearts because of a mistake that they made. Could be job-related struggles. It could be spiritual struggles, could be financial struggles, and the list goes on. And too many times we let ourselves get burdened with these chains, and we lose our focus on God. Paul didn't. So how could Paul be happy in the chains that he was wearing? How can we be happy with those chains too? Now, I didn't do this on purpose, but you know, Jeffrey usually has 3 points. Well, I've got 3 points too, the way it came out. Point number one, how could Paul be happy in chains? He could be happy in chains because when he looked at the past, he looked with thanksgiving to God. He was thankful to what happened to him. And we got to remember, there was a lot of bad stuff that happened to Paul, which we'll talk about later. But he was still thankful for the good things that came from those bad events. Now we know that Paul had probably been associated with the church at Philippi for somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 years. And he only had fond memories of the Philippian Christians. Philippians 1, 3, and 4 says, "I thank my God every time I think of you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy." So Paul looked for the good in all things, even though he had suffered mistreatment. And we know he suffered mistreatment on a number of occasions. And he even suffered it when he first came to Philippi to preach the gospel. We find in 1 Thessalonians 2:2, it says, "We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know. But with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in spite of strong opposition." So as he first traveled to Philippi, the city was not readily accepting Christ, accepting the gospel. But Paul persevered, the Philippian Christians persevered, and the church grew and grew. And As I mentioned, Paul was very fond of this congregation. And perhaps when he looked back at the unpleasant things that happened in his life, he saw the good that came from them. Romans 8:28, Paul says, "And we know that in all good things, or in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Again, let me read that first part. "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him." And we have to remember that and keep our focus there. We know that in Philippi, he and Silas were in prison. And we find this in Acts 16, verses 16 through 34. I'm not going to read all those verses, but just to remind you what was happening here, Paul and Silas had arrived. They came upon a slave girl that was able to tell fortunes. And it seemed like that slave girl followed them around, ranting and raving and saying things, and Paul was getting a little fed up with it. And he turned around and said, "Spirit, come out of thee." And it did, but she could no longer tell fortunes. The bad thing about that, the owners of that slave girl were making big money off of her ability to tell fortunes, and they had just lost that income. So they trumped up some charges against Paul and Silas, and that's where I'll pick it up in verse 22 of chapter 16 of Acts. "The crowd joined in the attack on Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and a jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in an inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to him. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, 'Don't harm yourself. We're all here.' The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' They replied, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household.' Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family." So let's look at this whole story. Here, Paul and Silas were in prison on false charges. Before that, though, they were beaten. And it said pretty severely. They were flogged severely. But then, around midnight, what were they doing? They were singing hymns and praying to God. Now, I don't know if I was in pretty severe pain. And by the way, their feet were locked in stocks, so that would be a very uncomfortable situation there. But if I was in that much pain, the first thing that come to my mind, thank God, pray to him. And I hope it would, but I don't know that it would. And we think about what happened, the earthquake, tremendous earthquake, all the doors flew open, the chains fell off of every prisoner. And this jailer was about ready to kill himself because back in those days, if you lost a prisoner, you lost your life. But they told him, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." Nobody had left. And then the jailer comes to them and asks, "What must I do to be saved?" And so they accepted Jesus as their Savior, he and his household, and were baptized. So Paul's pleasant memories were focused on the Christians in Philippi. We know that. They faithfully supported his work. We find in Philippians 1, verses 4 and 5, "In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." Now, again, remember, Paul knew this congregation for somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 years. So what he's saying here is that they have been faithful Christians from day one until now. So again, he was proud that they would remain faithful to God and work hard for God. So Paul could be happy in chains because he looked at the past with thanksgiving to God. You and I can concentrate on the bad things that happen in our lives and become bitter, or we could remember the good things, give thanks to the Lord, and be happy. And even in bad situations, happiness is a choice. And I know sometimes it's hard. But we need, as I said before, and I think Daryl mentioned it in class, Bible class, we need to keep our focus on God and Jesus. Always. Point number two. How could Paul be happy in chains? Because he looked at the present with confidence in God. As Paul thought about the Christians in Philippi, he was flooded with emotions. And of course, one of the primary emotions was love. We read in Philippians 1, verses 7 and 8, "It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus." So Paul longed for the Philippian Christians with all his heart. Paul loved them with the love that characterized Jesus. And as Paul remembered his brothers and sisters in Christ, he was also filled with confidence in God. As we find in Philippians 1:6, which reads, "Being confident of this, that he who begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Paul was happy in prison because he was able to look at the present with confidence in God. And he was not self-confident. I guess you can kind of say he was God-confident. Philippians 2:12 tells us, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." So did you hear that? They were good and faithful when he was there with them, but they were even more faithful, it seemed like, when he wasn't. Now, here in Bible study on Wednesday nights, we've been talking about the Galatian church. And we find that the Galatians were faithful when Paul was there, but then many of them fell away due to a false gospel when he wasn't. So Paul was very proud of this congregation. Paul had seen God at work in Philippi, and he believed that the Lord deserved all the praise for every good thing that had been accomplished there. The confidence expressed by Paul was primarily because of who God was, is, and always will be. But his confidence was built up by the Philippian Christians, because they were the kind of people in whom God could work. And you know, God does not look for perfect people in whom to work. Because if he did, how many would he find? None. We all sin. We all fall short of God's glory. But he would rather find people that would allow him to work in their lives. So how does God work in our lives? Well, first of all, the Word. In Hebrews 4:12, we find the writer saying, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." So God's word is what we need to have in our lives. We need to study daily to understand and know what God expects of us. God works in our lives through the different things that happen in during our lives. James 1, verses 2 and 3 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance." And I tell you, every time I hear that passage or read that passage, the first name that jumps out at me is Paul. I mean, that guy had been beaten several times, in prison several times, stoned near to death, shipwrecked three times, and there are probably others I left out. But did his faith diminish in God because of these events? No. His faith grew. And our faith should grow whenever we face the trials. We should not turn our back on God because we have hard times. But we should pray and ask for his guidance. And how does God work in our lives? He works in our lives through the people we meet. You know, our church family, very important. We should work together. We should love each other. We should be willing to do anything we can for each other. But not just us, those people that haven't found God, haven't found Jesus in their lives. So what qualities did the Philippian Christians have in their lives that allowed God to work in them? Well, number one, we know, as Paul has already stated, they were very faithful from day one. They remained faithful to him. They were willing to go out and spread the gospel to those who are lost. They did not turn their backs on Paul when he was in prison like others had. They defended and confirmed the gospel whenever it was attacked. So God was, again, I've said this more than once, very proud of the Philippian Christians. So whatever our challenges are in life, we need to remember that if we are faithful children of God, that we do not have to face these struggles, these challenges alone. God is with us and will be with us as long as we are faithful to him. We know that Paul had confidence in his brethren. He also had confidence in God. As he states in Ephesians 3, verse 20, which says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." Let me repeat that first part again. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine." God is not constrained by anything. God has a lot more to give us than what we can see or imagine. Point number three. How could Paul be happy in chains? Because he looked at the future in prayer to God. Regarding what was ahead, Paul did not ignore the realities of life. He knew the Philippian Christians would face many challenges, many struggles. He knew he would too. But he didn't let that deter him one bit. And it sounds like the Philippian Christians had neither. And in Philippians 1, 9 through 11, we find him praying in his letter to them. "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God. So Paul prayed that they would grow in love, that they would grow in love for one another and would always look for the best in each other. Paul prayed that they would grow in knowledge. And here I believe he is talking about spiritual knowledge, that they would study the Word, that they would, again, understand what God's plan was for them and what they needed to do to please God. Paul prayed that they would grow in the ability to tell the difference between right and wrong, and that they would grow in Christian character. Paul prayed that they would live fruitful lives. Again, we talked about that this morning in Bible study, that works are important to God. God has prepared many works for us to do, and we need to do them, not just sit by and let somebody else do the work. So to face the future with confidence, we must live closer to the Lord each day and glorify Him in all things. Do we do that? Do we remember to give God all the glory in all our accomplishments and all the things that happen around us? Or do we give ourselves or others pats on the back? So we need to glorify God in all things. And of course, prayer is going to be very, very important. There is no better advice for those who are in chains than to take their eyes off themselves and to focus in squarely on God and Jesus. Again, I'm going to say that one more time. There's no better advice for those who are in chains than to take their eyes off themselves and focus on God and Jesus. So in conclusion, what will your reaction be to the chains you have, the chains you are wearing, the things that are burdening you down? Here are your choices. You can look at the past with misgiving or thanksgiving. You can look at the present with cowardice or confidence. You can look at the future with apprehension or prayer. We can also, another thing, choice that you have to make, are you going to lean on your strength or God's strength to get you through your life? Which choices will you make? I pray that you will make the choice of putting God and Jesus first in your life and live that life that is pleasing to Him. This time we offer the invitation to those who have not accepted Jesus into their life, or for those that have accepted Jesus into their life but need our prayers. If you need to, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.